Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Steve Parker.
So yeah, you've been doing the word since last week. Mixed reaction. Quick recap then from last week. Have we been encouraging people this week? Some people just do it all the time anyway, don't they? It's great. Thinking of ways to encourage people to love and good works. You've been doing some of that. Good, good, good. Holding tight to God's promises. How about that? You've been doing some of that this week, thinking, yes, I'm going to hold on to the promise that God has given me without wavering, without doubting, because God can be trusted. Okay, today's title then. Sounds a bit like Great Expectations, but it's not. It's Brief Exhortations. That comes from one of the scriptures that we're going to read later on. From Hebrews chapter 13. I'm still in Hebrews. And why not? It's a great book. Really enjoyed just reading through it. And we're going to take a look through chapter 13. There is just loads I could have brought. I had to kind of get it on the cutting floor and cut some bits out. I could have spent all day preaching to you till my voice went hoarse. And then I could have rode home. All right. Hebrews 13, let's get it up on the screen then. Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Is anybody here committing adultery? All right, we'll move on then. Okay, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. God will get you if you're committing adultery. All right, that's what the scripture tells us. So just don't do it. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. That's good news, isn't it? So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. God wants to remove fear from our lives. That's good. That is a good thing. What can mere people do to me? Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food, which don't help those who follow them. Okay. So there is just, like I say, so much good stuff, even within that short piece there. We're going to look at verse 5 again. What a promise this is from God. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. Only God could say that, couldn't he? I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. Only God has that kind of strength and that kind of ability to be able to do that. Because, you know, even with our best efforts, at the end of the day, sooner or later, we're going to slip up, we're going to fail. But God does not. God does not. You know, we put our trust in institutions, in pensions, in workplaces, but they can fail you. Anybody ever found that? It happens, right? They're subject to a volatile world market, and they don't hear cries for help. Verse 6. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? We can be confident of God's help. We're confident of God's help?
Yeah.
Good. Keep your confidence in God. Don't get flustered. You know, the context there is talking about money, actually. You know, we worry about money probably more than most things. As human beings, oh, am I going to have enough to be able to do this, do that, do the other? We can put our confidence in God. He is going to look after us. You know, we worry more so in a Brexit world. Just to remember, right, that the EU spells EU. So, moving on from that then. Got to leave that one out. I didn't get much of a laugh. Thanks, Jay. I can always rely on Jay to give me a little laugh. EU spells EU. No. Thanks, Jay. Thanks, mate. Right, scrub that one. God says, don't love money. Right? God is going to take care of us, even financially. He can take care of us. Let's love God, trust him to look after us financially. Yeah, he's going to give us jobs. Yeah, jobs earn money and stuff like that. Yeah, but don't fall in love with the stuff. Right, has anybody experienced God's provision? Come on, let's have a show of hands. Anybody experienced God's provision? Is God going to change? We have already read, haven't we? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change. If we could trust him in the past, we can trust him in the future. He's not going to let us down. He is always going to be Jehovah Jireh, which means God will provide. Don't live for stuff. Be happy with what you need. And if God blesses you with more wealth, that's a bonus, isn't it? You know, we can have nice things, that's all right, but we don't live for it. We don't live for it. We need to get that balance, don't we? And in all these things, we need to make sure that we can be generous. It's no good working all the hours and we neglect our family, which is the most important thing, or the house of God, you know, the bigger family, if you like. Yeah, I'm preaching to myself, of course, when I'm doing that. More stuff needs more maintenance. You ever found that out? The more stuff you get, the more stuff you've got to maintain. Let's get wisdom for what we need and for what is going to be good for us. We need to introduce our bills to God. Hey, Bill, meet God. And God says, nice to meet you, Bill, because God meets the bills, yeah? All right, here's a promise for you from Proverbs 11, verse 24 and 25. This is good. Give freely and become more wealthy. This is the economy of God for you. All right, this doesn't make sense with anybody else apart from God. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. How's that for a promise from God? An excellent promise from the Proverbs. The generous prosper. Don't live beyond your means, otherwise you'll have nothing to bless other people with. Think about that one. Think about that one. All right. All right, back to Hebrews 13 and verse 6. And let's just have a look at this word. This was great when I was looking through this yesterday. I thought, wow, that's just too good to pass up. I got to pass that one on. Verse 6. So the Lord is my helper. So helper in the Greek is ba'athos. I don't know, I can't do it with a Greek accent, so you're just going to have to accept my English Greek, okay? So bo means cry for help, and theo means to run. And so if you put them together, one who comes running when we cry for help. How good is that? I've got a news flash for you. God can run, and he can run fast. He's at least as fast as the speed of light. That's just when he's jogging, okay? All right, 1 John 1:5, God is light. Sorry, Usain Bolt, you come in second. All right, God runs fast. What brings him running? It's not moaning, it's not complaining, it's a cry for help from his children. Wednesday, I was telling the kids that God made each one of us unique. I was saying if you was in the FBI or if you were in MI5, they could do scans to check out that you were the person. You know, if you wanted to, if you was James Bond, you put your hand up to the screen there and it can read all your fingerprints and it would know that you was the real 007. And I was saying to the guys, I said, but what's that thing called where you put your eye up to the screen? One of them puts his hand up. Is it a rectum scan? I said, no, you haven't got that right, son. You haven't got that right. the things we enjoy. The things we enjoy doing youth work. It's a retina scan. A retina scan is the actual right one. So you've been watching the wrong films, boy. But anyway, our voice, and this is the last one I came up with, our voice recognition. You ever seen any of these kind of spy films where they speak to the safe and it opens up? I'm thinking Jason Bourne when I'm doing that one. Voice recognition. Every single person's voice is individual to the individual. And then I thought of this thought here. God can tell who it is who's calling out to him. You think about that. Every time you call to God, God recognizes that voice. And he's there, he's coming, and he's running to help us. How good is that? You know, when Peter started sinking after he'd stepped out onto the water, his faith wavered some. But he knew who to call out to, didn't he? You know, he still had enough faith to be able to call out to Jesus. He knew who to put his faith in. Jesus saved me, and Jesus came along. You of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? You know, that cry comes up before God, and God comes to us. I don't know what distance there was between Jesus and Peter, but I imagine he just, boom, he was right there, ready to drag him out of the water in which he was sinking. He's going to rescue you too. Yeah, you ever get into to deep water, God is going to rescue you. I'm sure some of you have been in deep water before. You think, oh God, I can't, I'm sinking, you know, I'm sinking. Help me, God, help me. And God comes and he pulls us up out of that deep water and just kind of looks at us like a father to a child. You have little faith, you know. Why did you doubt? I'm always going to come to you. Never promise for you. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Believe that and you're not going to sink financially, okay? God is going to supply for us. Right, Hebrews 13 verses 8 and 9. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. So don't be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food, which don't help those who follow them. Okay, so Jesus is always the same. He works in the same way. And the truth about Jesus remains the same. Sure, God gives us innovation, doesn't he? He helps us to innovate. Otherwise, we'd still be worshipping on harps. But we're not, you know. We can be contemporary, but the message about Jesus stays the same. His character stays the same. His goodness stays the same. You get what I'm saying, don't you? Okay, but the warning comes to us. Don't be diverted by strange teaching. You know, strange teaching makes you strange. Did you know that? All right, don't be diverted by strange teaching. In these days in which the writer to the Hebrews was writing, there were some guys, they had to deal with mystics. There was some kind of mystic saying, hey, all this kind of Christian teaching, that's good, but there's a higher level, you know, that you can go to. And they started to teach that Jesus didn't actually come in a body, which of course he did. And it was an addition to the truth, which was a lie. We've got to make sure that we're not getting into strange teaching. There are teachings going around at the moment, which is kind of like a half-truth. Pastor Lynn was talking to us just on our little group that we were in on Tuesday night when we were doing a Bible study. She was chatting with someone who's kind of into the hyper-grace thing. We're saying, we don't really need to do anything as Christians. Jesus is building his church. God is doing it all. We don't need to do anything, which isn't the truth. You know, that's just a half-truth. God gives us things to do things with. If you get half the truth, you're only going to get half the freedom. And we don't want that. We want to be free and free indeed, do we not? God empowers us to work. He blesses us to be a. He provides so that we can be providers, generous. He gives us power to be a. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Witness, thank you, top of the class, yeah. Let's not be afraid of the word grace, though. It is a good word. Anybody like the word grace? I love it. Right, the Bible tells us that strength comes from God's grace. That got me thinking. I thought, grace, strength comes from grace. How does that work, then? How does that work? Sometimes I like to think that way. How does that work? So let's look at grace. Grace in the Greek is charis, which comes from the root kara, which means joy. That was news to me, but yeah, that means joy. And that makes me think immediately of Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. And that's going to come up on the screen, just the end of the scripture here. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Very famous quotation in the Bible for Christians. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So, his kara, his grace, is your strength. It's good, that, isn't it? All right, got a word for you. It's time for your sadness to end. No more sadness, no more dejection. Let's end it, yeah? Let's end it. God wants there to be joy within your life. Declare it over your life. Do not let the devil rob you one more day of the joy that God has got for you. God's joy is yours. Rejoice, right? Rejoice in God's unmerited favor. That's what grace also means. God's unmerited favor. Here's some things that we can rejoice about. By God's grace, Jesus took the punishment that we deserve. By God's grace, we receive mercy. Amen. By God's grace, he supplies our need. You don't look as though you're rejoicing too much out there. Come on. The grace is available right now for every situation that we've got. Yeah. He will help you overcome whatever you're going through. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel with God. Yes, there is. Verse 16. Okay. And don't forget to do good and share with those in need. I like this because we were preaching about this the other week. And then a couple of chapters later, he's saying, don't forget what I've just told you. All right. Do you ever say that to your kids? Don't forget to do good and share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Okay. So we're called to do good. If some people say, well, God's going to do it all, yet God calls us to do good. So the Acts of the Apostles is called that because they did something with what God had given them. Okay, they went around doing good stuff. They went around healing the sick just like Jesus did. They went around preaching the gospel. They went around casting out demons, taking the message of the good news to village after village after village, spreading the good news. We've got good stuff to give out, people. All right, we're not just here to be takers, we're also here to be givers as well. We've got to give what God has given us and share it about. You know, out of our innermost being is supposed to flow rivers of living water. That means it comes out. It comes out. What he's put in needs to come out. Right. Assist people when we can, just like the Good Samaritan. Why was the Good Samaritan good? Because he did good things. Yeah? All right, as Batman once said, it's not who I am inside, but what I do that defines me. He said it in a gruff voice. It's what I do that defines me. Okay. How do people define you? It's a question to ask yourself. How do people define you? Good question, isn't it? Are you good? Do you share with those in need? And if it's a sacrifice, the Bible tells us that's good. It pleases God. You think, oh, that's too much of a sacrifice. Yet sacrifices please God. Yeah? You want to be pleasing to God? Okay, do it then. All right. Here's another great exhortation for you. Verse 17. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. Okay, so it's the O word. The O word. Everybody say, obey.
Obey.
Oh, you're very obedient. Thank you. Okay. Right, so in a church context, if we obey a leader who's going in a direction that God has shown them, we're all going to get somewhere. Yeah? Okay, we can have our own ideas on how church should be run, depending on our bias, depending on our giftings, etc. Okay? But God has given leaders. You know, every time you see an expedition on the telly, or if you've ever been on one yourself, there's usually somewhere, or someone, should I say, who's a guide to you. Okay? Obedience and submission are there to stop us doing our own thing. Even if a leader has something an opinion that is contrary to our own. All right. So the word to us is, Mary, Mary, don't be contrary. Okay. Leadership, it can be like pushing a boulder uphill sometimes. It's hard work. It's hard work. All right. If people want to push in a different direction, it's going to be frustrating, isn't it? Yet, if you're pushing, and we're all pushing in the same direction, we can start to go somewhere, yeah? Yeah, when you get behind a leader, things get easier. It's just the way that God has shown. If we agree with God, we're going to be doing good, right? There is strength and there is power in unity. We've already heard that this morning. Okay, here's a question for you. Do you cause your leader joy or sorrow? Apparently, you can do both according to that scripture. It's a question to think about. Do you cause your leader joy or sorrow? Strive to be the kind of person that when you walk through the door, people say, oh, thank God. Not, oh, God, give me grace for this situation. You know what I mean. Okay. Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 to 13. Now, the context of this scripture, Israel is on the brink of the promised land, and they're coming up against lots of enemies, and one of these enemies were the Amalekites, and they were bad dudes. And so there's this big battle. They're all getting stuck into the battle, but there's a spiritual element to this battle. Joshua's fighting with the army, and Moses has gone up to a hill, and he's praying to God. And as he does, he's lifting up the staff that God had given him to heaven. And you can imagine Moses at this time was probably nearing 120 years old. He's just climbed up to the top of a hill or a mountain. That's pretty good going, isn't it? It's pretty good going. And so the battle was won when the leader was supported. Let's read it. While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill, holding the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arm soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands, so his hands held steady until sunset. That's a long time. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. That's good stuff, isn't it? Are you the kind of person that can hold up a leader's hands? I hope so. All right. Despite the armpits, I can imagine they would have been pretty ripe after climbing up a hill in the Middle East, in the sun. Do you know what I mean? All right. The alternative is slaughter. And we're not down with that, are we? We're not up for the church being slaughtered in Boston. We're going to fight, yeah? Not going to let the devil take over. No way. Okay. All right. With leadership comes pressure. You're an enemy target along with your family. But, whilst Pastor Shane's been away enjoying himself in the sunshine, felt the pressure a bit. It's a good timely reminder, actually. I'm sure Faye, if she's listening to this somewhere, would say amen to that as well. You know, there's been times of pressure that have come over the past 10 days, kind of pressure with doing church things, pressure with work, pressure with family. But hey, praise God, God's grace is sufficient. But there does come a pressure with leadership, okay? So we need to be supporting the best that we can. Pressure comes from many directions. Concern for the church, attacks from the adversary, all right? The devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy. He's always at it. He doesn't let up. You know, he doesn't give it a break. He doesn't take a day off. He doesn't believe in the Sabbath rest. All right. What can you do to support? Submit to the vision is one, you know. Submit to what's going on. Submit what the leadership brings. Help practically. If you see something that needs doing in the building, perhaps you could. Can I sort that out? I'm sure, you know, if you ask. Just a thought. Okay. Pray for the families. Pray for health. Yeah. Pray for health. Pray for continued health. Don't let the subtlety of the enemy get in any way. Bless them financially if you like. That's good and biblical. You can do that. Not a problem. All right. I'm only passing on the Bible, all right? It's just the writer remained anonymous. I can see why. Do you know what I mean? Named anonymous for a reason. So I'm going to wrap it all up now. So I'm not going to recap. I'm just going to end it with a bit of a benediction that comes at the end of Hebrews 13. And it's in verse 20 through to 22. And this is for you guys. And you want some of this morning? Now, may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. Let's just hold it there for a second, Angus. So God equips us for doing his will. He equips us for a reason. All right, let's go on to the next one. Thanks, Angus. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All right, so God produces in us what is pleasing to him. He's the boss. He's God. You know, he's the main one. We are not. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. I urge you, dear brothers and sisters, to pay attention to what I've written in this brief exhortation. And verse 25, we're going to end with this one. May God's grace be with you all. May his joy be with you. May his kara be with you this morning. All right, I'm going to pray. Yeah, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the exhortations that you bring to us in your word so that we can better live a profitable life for you. And God, we know that your way is the best way, Lord God. We know that your way is the way of joy. Your way is the way of peace. Your way is the way that is free from fear. God, help us, Lord, to be able to put this into practice. Lord, it's easily said, but help us with the doing of it. I thank you that you have equipped us with everything we need to be able to do it, though. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the power of Jesus. And thank you, Father, that you always hear our cry. We bless you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Over to you, Pastor Shane.
Excellent stuff.